the book of Mark. Let me read a few verses here. We'll read beginning verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house, or it was rumored, broadcast, the word was out that the Lord Jesus was in the house. And the result was, and straightway, many were gathered together. Now they had heard that the Lord Jesus had come to this place here in the city of Capernaum. And many were gathered together, and the crowd was so great, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now it's important to remember this here. He was in the city of Capernaum, and the word got out that he was there in this house, and the multitude of people came at this place, insomuch that they crowded out the exit, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that is for the crowd, they couldn't get to him, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, I think including his faith along with his four friends, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? They didn't understand that our Lord could read the thoughts in the hearts of men. In verse number 9, he said, Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. He went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ was at the city of Capernaum, and he was at his usual work, preaching the word and healing the sick. Now, the first thing I want you to notice in this narrative is, number one, I want you to see what great spiritual privileges some people enjoy and yet not make use of them. What great spiritual privileges some people have and some people enjoy and yet make no use of these spiritual privileges. Now this fact is illustrated by the history of the city of Capernaum. Now, there's no city throughout the length and breadth of Palestine that enjoyed so much of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry as the city of Capernaum did. That in itself is a great privilege. These people here were privileged to have the earthly presence of this sovereign ruler, God Himself, more than any other city in all of Palestine. Now, it says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 13, it says that when He left Nazareth, which was His hometown, that's the town that He grew up in. You remember He came to Nazareth and He did not do many miracles because of their unbelief. And it says that He marveled at their unbelief. And finally He left them alone. And in the 13th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, "And leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum." After leaving Nazareth, He took up His abode in this city of Capernaum. Now, in this city of Capernaum was the place where many, and I mean many, of His miracles were worked, and many of His sermons were delivered. But nothing that He said seemed to have any effect upon the hearts of the inhabitants of this city. We're talking about the people of Capernaum. He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that He was in the house. And there was great crowds of people attracted to His ministry. And He preached the word unto them, and also displayed His great and glorious power in that He performed miracles in their midst here at Capernaum. You see, they crowded to hear Him, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Wasn't any room to receive them in this house. And they gathered on the outskirts of the house. And the crowd was so great that a man who was sick, who had palsy, who was paralyzed, who couldn't walk, who was borne by four friends, couldn't even get to where the Lord Jesus was because the crowd was so great. They had to climb up on top of the house and let Him down through the roof. And well, I read to you here where it says that they were amazed and they were astonished at his wonderful works, these people. But they were not converted. So I'm saying here that I want you to see, brethren, that great spiritual privileges are enjoyed by a whole lot of people, and yet they make no use of these spiritual privileges. These people had this great and glorious privilege of having the presence of God in their city, walking on their streets, preaching in their public places, preaching in their synagogue, in enjoying to a degree the hospitality of some of the inhabitants by going in their house, performing great miracles, but yet they remained hardened. Their hearts were hard towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, someone said that they lived in the full noontide blaze of the Sun of Righteousness. They lived in the reflection of the Sun of Righteousness at its fullness, at its brightness. They lived in the reflection of that, and yet their hearts remained hard. They received from Him, I guess, the heaviest condemnation that any city ever received other than Jerusalem. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 11. And I want to show you what our Lord said in regard to this city. And I want to show you here that these people, remember this is what we're saying, that there's great privileges, spiritual privileges that some people enjoy and yet make no use of them. That is, some people have the privilege of coming to hear the gospel of God's redeeming grace. And they come and they hear 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 and they listen and they identify themselves outwardly with this place and this people and this gospel, but yet never hear with the inward ears. They remain unconverted and hardened at heart. Now, this city who had this privilege of having the Lord Jesus Christ on her streets and hearing Him preach and seeing the miracles that He wrought, this is what He said about them. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 23, look there at verse 23, and you'll see that He pronounced a heavy condemnation against them, on them. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Here's a city now, performed all these many works, preached the word to them, said, you're exalted into heaven, but you shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. The wicked city of Sodom that we talked about this morning, about Lot and his wife. He said, if the works that I've done in your midst, if they had been done in the city of Sodom, that city would not have been burned to the ground. But I say unto you, Capernaum, that it shall be more tolerable, that is, Sodom will be better off in the day of judgment than you'll be. I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Oh, what a condemnation our Lord pronounced against these inhabitants of this city of Capernaum. Now, another thing that I want you to see here. Now, we suppose many times that all that is needed for the converting of sinners is the powerful preaching of the gospel. Sometimes we hear certain individuals preach and we're taken up by their rhetoric and their style and their delivery and we're taken up by what they say and we're interested in what they say and we're impressed and amazed at the insight that they have to the scripture and to the powerful preaching of the gospel and the exaltation that they do of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we feel that if we just had this preacher in our midst, if we just had him here and preached to us for a certain length of time, I'm sure that many would be converted. Now we think that's the way our mind runs. I guess that's human nature to think that way. Well, I'll tell you this, brethren, we forget, I guess, the power of unbelief. We forget the depth of man's depravity against God. We just forget that man is so against God, and he is so far off and so far away from God that he will never come back to God unless God brings him back in spite of the most powerful preaching that can be preached. Our Lord Jesus Christ preached here in Capernaum. The greatest of preachers, God Himself, He preached. And He performed true and genuine miracles. There was no fake miracles that our Lord Jesus Christ performed like they do on the television of removing goiters and healing cancer and all of the things that they do, and these tent meetings and so forth. Miracles that he performed, I'll tell you, brethren, were true and genuine. And these people heard. They heard faultless and blameless preaching. And they saw the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ confirmed by miracles. And yet, they remained dead in trespasses and in sins. So let us learn, brethren, let us learn that even the very truest and the very best preaching will not always bring about the conversion of men who are dead in trespasses and in sins. It takes more than good preaching. It takes more than true preaching in the conversion of a sinner. Oh, the truth apart from the working of the divine Spirit will not bring about conversion. Well, nothing, I guess, seems to harden men's hearts so much as to hear the gospel regularly and then deliberately prefer to leave it be. Men who constantly hear the gospel, they hear it regularly. The preacher is faithful in the proclamation of the gospel of redeeming grace. The theme is Christ and Him crucified. It's Jesus only. It's the personal suffering and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ being constantly preached and magnified. Now, a man that constantly hears that regularly is generally, if he does not submit to it, if it does not break him and strip him, that generally has the reverse or the opposite effect upon him. It hardens his heart. It hardens him. So it did with these people. Oh, how highly favored these people were at Capernaum, and yet so full of unbelief. Our prayer this evening ought to be, you and I, I believe we hear the truth, and I believe I preach the truth. And if I don't preach the truth, then it's not worthwhile to listen to me. And if I didn't preach the truth, if I was you, I wouldn't even come. I wouldn't even give me the time of day in regard to hearing me if I didn't preach the truth. But I believe I preach the truth. I believe that. And I believe that men who come here at this place from time to time preach the truth. They preach the truth as in Christ. They preach the gospel. They labor constantly in the preparation of sermons that will set forth the gospel in its simplicity. And we ought to pray, Lord, deliver us from hardness of heart. Oh, that we might not get hard and calloused in our heart. Well, another thing I want you to see is this. How great a blessing affliction, misery, or disease or sickness may prove sometimes to a man's soul. This man who was sick of the palsy, who had four kind friends, and those are the kind of friends that are worthwhile, who are concerned about you. Here is a fella who was bowed down and burdened down in mind and in soul, who could not remove himself from his own house. But he had four kind friends, and these four kind friends took notice of his condition, and they was concerned about him. And they believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could do something for him if they could get this fella into the presence at the feet of Christ. This is the kind of friends to have. And so he was carried in his bed by these four kind friends and let down in a place in the midst of where Jesus was preaching the word. And at once, the object of this man's desire was gained. Right now, look at it. When they let him down here, it says, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press or for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, where the Lord Jesus Christ was, in the midst of this house. People gathered around on all sides. Great crowd there. And when they had broken it up or lifted some of the tiles off of the top of that house, then they let it down or let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, right now, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, I'll tell you, there couldn't be anything greater than this. The object of this man's desire was gained right like that. Right like that. The forgiveness of sins. That's what's against us. You see, every man that's born of woman, he goes astray from his mother's womb speaking lies. He speaks lies as soon as he goes from his mother's womb. He's in out-and-out rebellion against God. Now, his sin is not against his father or his mother. That is, not only indirectly. His sin is not necessarily against father or mother or society or nation or neighbor or any type of people. His sin is directly against God. When a sinner sins, his sins is against God. And he needs to have his sins forgiven. He needs to have his sins covered. He needs to hear a voice from heaven saying, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's what he needs to hear. And if he never hears that, if he never hears from the voice of God. Now you say, well, is God going to speak to me in an audible voice? Do I have to hear a still voice somewhere in the background say that? No, you don't have to hear that. You hear the Word. You hear it through the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And we handled the Word. We handled the Word, the disciples said. We touched Him. We felt Him. We ate with Him. The Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear the voice of God through the Word. The Word speaks to us by the Spirit. And that's what we need. We need to hear that. We need to hear, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Here was a man who was carried from his house that morning, weak, bowed down in body and in soul. Here he goes, returning to his house, rejoicing. Can we doubt? Can anybody doubt that to the end of this man's days, as long as he lived, he thanked God for his affliction. He thanked God for his palsy, because without this palsy, he might have lived and died in ignorance and had never seen or heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ at all. He would have never, in all probability, heard the blessed words of the Lord Jesus, thy sins be forgiven thee. The palsy was indeed a blessing. And many times that proves to be so, that our affliction, our misery, is only the means to a greater blessing from God Almighty. Every sickness and every sorrow is a gracious message from God. It is. Every sickness and every sorrow, that's a message from God. And brethren, Let us take heed to what the Scriptures say. The scriptures say, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. Let's don't refuse him. Let's hear him as he speaks to us, even through misery, even through affliction. You remember what old David said? David said, It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Oh, a wise reason for every trial. He knoweth the way I take, Job said. That's what he said. He knows the way I take. And when I come forth, when he's tried me, and I come forth, I'll be as gold. You see, a wise reason for every trial. Let me show you some things here this evening about this fella. Take up thy bed and walk, our Lord said to him. Well, you say, but he cannot, he's paralyzed. Our Lord said, take up thy bed and walk down here. Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, they said, well, this fella, he's a blasphemer. Yeah, who can forgive sins but God only? And our Lord had already said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And our Lord, who could read hearts and read the thoughts of men, and he could see that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Now listen, he says to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and walk. I can't, I'm paralyzed. Arise, that's what he said to him. They carried him in here. And our Lord's going to tell him to do something that he hadn't done before or he couldn't do before. Man's paralyzed. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Man's paralyzed. He can't rise up, let alone take up his bed and walk. What makes you think he can get up? He's paralyzed, Fred. They had to keep four kind friends got him from his house this morning. He couldn't turn over in bed. He had to be helped when he wanted a glass of water, someone had to bring it to him. And when he drank it, someone had to lift him up and give it to him so he wouldn't choke. The man was paralyzed. He lay in his bed, he couldn't help himself. But our Lord said to him, arise, take up thy bed and walk. Well, he can't. He's paralyzed. He can't rise up, let alone take up his bed and walk. Oh, my soul. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Listen to this now. I want you to hear this. That's a command of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks with authority here. They said up here, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? That's right. That's one time they told the truth. Who can forgive sins but God only? God only can forgive sins. There's not a man on earth that can forgive sins. An angel from heaven can't forgive sins. A church can't forgive sins. A council can't forgive sins. The wisest group of men and women collected in one body upon the face of the earth from the ends of the earth can't forgive one sin. They can't forgive one curse word or one lie or one suggestive thought. They can't do it. This is reserved for God and God alone. God only can forgive sins. A church can't do it. A denomination can't do it. A nation can't do it. Or a nation among nations can't do it. Only God can do it. They spake the truth here when they said, who can forgive sins but God only? It's a command. Our God's commanding now. He said, arise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, with that command comes the strength to comply. With the command comes the ability to comply with the command. Notice this now. the power is not in the palsied man, but it's in the Savior who commands. That's where the power is. Can you see that? The power is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." The power is in the command. Gives the man the ability to comply. That man didn't argue. He didn't say, "I'm paralyzed, Lord, can't you see that? I've been paralyzed all my life." But immediately, as soon as our Lord told him to arise, he did it. He picked himself up and went his way rejoicing. You see that man with the withered hand that we preached about here not so long ago? Our Lord said to that man with the withered hand, he said, "Stretch forth thy hand." Now that man did what he had never done and what he had never been able to do before, but without the command and without the presence of Christ, he wouldn't have been able to do it. But the command of Christ carried with it a ability to comply with that command. And immediately he stretched forth his hand. You remember when God told Moses they needed some water. They needed some water. And God told Moses, he said, "Go to yonder place and strike the rock." Well, anyone knows there's no water in a rock. I've seen lots of rocks. I've climbed up on top of many a rock. I've seen them all over the hills and mountains of West Virginia. Rock after rock. Some of them as big as this church building. I know there's no water in that rock. I don't know what type of a rock that was. But our Lord told Moses, he said, "Go and strike the rock. Just strike that rock." Well, there's no water in the rock. Well, there is. If Christ is there and so commands, there's water there. See? If God says to do it, and God's there, there'll be water in that rock. That's what I'm talking about. You remember at the wedding of Cana, they run out of wine. And there was no wine left. And so he said, "Fill the pots with water." Got all these empty pots out here, just fill them up full of water. Well, I know and they know that water cannot become wine. It will if Christ commands it so. See? If He commands, then you comply, because the power and the ability to comply is carried with the authority of that command. When He said, "Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live," well, then I believe. In myself, I didn't have the ability to believe. I was dead in trespasses and in sins, but the good Spirit enabled me to comply with the command. And I was able to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. Well, you remember when the Israelites were bitten by the serpents and they were dying. And so God told Moses, he said, make a serpent out of brass and hang it up on a pole. And he said, "Tell the children of Israel to look to the serpent. And whoever looks at that brazen serpent upon the pole will live." But how in the world can a brass snake give life? How can a brass snake hanging upon a pole give spiritual life? How can it give physical life? How can it make men live just by looking? Well, it can if Christ commands you to look. It can give life. We ought to be done with this foolish reason and human logic. And we ought to come out and get away from and shake off the lie and alibi of fatalistic inability, and one more time, hear Him, hear the voice of Him who commands, who can raise the dead, and who says, believe and live. The Bible says all things are possible with them that believe. Believe and live. Believe in the Son of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how great is that authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God speaking. And just as sure as He speaks to this man in this second chapter, He speaks to us here this evening. You and I, who are, if there be any here this evening, you're alienated from the life of God in Christ by your sins and rebellion against God, why don't you just believe and live? Why don't you look and live? He commands you to look unto Me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Why don't you do that? Listen, the salvation that saves sinners is entirely from God. God only can save sinners. God only can forgive sins. And if you ever hear of a salvation that does not come from God, you can depend on this. It's not seaworthy. It's no good if it doesn't come from God. It's got to be altogether and entirely from God. And the salvation that saves sinners is entirely and altogether from God. Rise and take up thy bed and walk. Did that fella do it? You say he's paralyzed. Well, I said he's paralyzed. 12th verse. What happened? Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth, went to his house. May the Lord help us to see that salvation's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He speaks, let's not refuse Him. That speaks from heaven. Arise, he says. Arise. Believe and live. All things are possible with them that believe. Arise, arise. Can a man believe? He can't apart from the Spirit of God. But if God speaks, if He commands, He gives the strength to comply with the command, and you can believe. Did He speak? You know whether He has or not. You, as I said this morning, that's reserved for you and you alone. That's something that you must do, something I must do. Father can't do it for you. Mother can't do it for you. You can't go to be with the Lord on someone else's coattails. That is, some individual. You must go to the Lord alone. And if you ever go to heaven when you die, it'll be by and through the Lord Jesus, whom you have depended upon. You've entered in. You've come through the door. You've trusted in the Lord Jesus. I bid you this evening, trust in Him. Believe in Him. Depend on Him. Cling to Him. He's life. He's life. Apart from Him, there is no life. Bow to Him while there's yet time. Let's stand.